Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Finding someone who shares your values in today's culture isn't easy, and being single around the holidays isn't easy either. That's why Catholic Singles created a website and app where single Catholics can meet and get to know each other that focuses on values, activities, and interests. For over two decades, Catholic Singles has been fostering deep relationships because your faith matters. Start today at CatholicSingles.com. That's CatholicSingles.com.
Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise.
Okay, we're going to be talking about judgment today. These are the last things. No, could you put the air conditioner? It's a little bit stuffy. The last things are these: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Okay? Can you say those? Say that together with me. Say it. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Okay? And there's two other realities. There's purgatory also. And we have to think also about eternity. Eternity means forever and ever and ever. Okay, so we're going to talk about judgment today. There's a picture there of Christ the King. You see that picture? That's Christ the King. We celebrate the feast day of Christ the King at the very end of the church year. Okay, I'm going to read and then we're going to dive into our lesson. We have only one life to live. Just one. And our life is very short on earth. The psalmist is a writer in the Old Testament, he gives 150 psalms, says, you can change that, there's a typo there, if you put our life, not like, our life is like the flower of the field. It rises in the morning and dies as the sun goes down. I like that. Flower rises in the morning. When the sun comes out, it dies as the sun goes down. That's kind of an image of our life. Our life is very short. But the stakes are pretty high. Either we go to heaven or hell. The stakes are pretty darn high. We want to make sure that we get to heaven, right? Nothing more important than that. A great saint that we should get to know, St. Augustine. Did you ever hear of St. Augustine? He had a powerful addiction. He was addicted to sex until he was 31 years old. He was a slave, basically. Then he was able to overcome it. He was baptized. He became a priest, a bishop, one of the greatest writers in the Catholic Church. His name is St. Augustine. If you go to college one day, you maybe read his spiritual classic, Confessions, right? Which it speaks about how his conversion came about. St. Augustine. He puts it this way. Our life, in comparison with eternity, is a mere blink of the eye. You blinked. Okay. You blinked. Okay. Our life, in comparison with eternity, is a mere blink of the eye. pretty short, isn't it? When you blink, just less than a second when you're blinking. If you compare your life with eternity, it's a mere blink of the eye. I like that. It's a good image. Try blinking just once, and that is your life on earth in comparison with eternity. Okay, eternity. What is it? The concept or idea of eternity is very hard for us to grasp, but we should try to understand it as much as we can. How can we put it? Paul, years ago I read a catechetical story of eternity, just to have an idea. You try to imagine you have a bird that's flying over Seal Beach, or Long Beach, where you've got a lot of grains of sand. And the bird swoops down and he picks up a grain of sand with his beak. Spanish, granito de arena. You speak Spanish, okay? So he picks up that grain of sand and he flies all the way to the moon. And he drops that grain of sand on the moon. And he flies all the way back and he grabs on another grain of sand and he flies all the way to the moon. He drops that grain of sand and he flies back. He gets another grain of sand. He flies all the way to the moon. He's getting tired. It's a long trip. He gets another grain of sand. He flies all the way to the moon. Now, when that bird will have taken all the grains of sand on planet Earth, depositing on the moon, eternity is just beginning. Good one, isn't it? It's going to take a long time, isn't it? No? Not just the grains of sand in L.A., but all over the world. It's going to take, trillions of years, right? So I think it's a good idea to recognize, how short our life is. And if we go to heaven to be with God, we're going to be with God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We should have a real longing to go to heaven. It's not important a long life, but a holy life. A holy life means a life in which we're loving God and obeying His commandments. Right? Okay. That's a little analogy of eternity. I've got more, but that's a pretty good one for a start. The other one is the Empire State Building. Bird flying around the world until he rounds here all the way to the ground, touching it just with his little feather. That took a long time too, right? I kind of like that. You see the timeline? You see that there? What would happen if you started to count? Could you exhaust the numbers on the timeline? Really, you can't, right? I mean, you count in one direction, no matter what you say, what number you say, there's always going to be a number after it, right? In the negative, you can say the same thing. That's a pretty good image of eternity, too. The timeline. Okay? So you see going backwards, negative, going forward. So try to just be aware of how short life is and how important it is for us to get to heaven, right? Isn't that important? Very important, right? Okay, so how can we put it? Eternity means this. It means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Yeah. My dad told me when he was 96 on his deathbed, and he did something very clear. He said that when he woke up, he felt like he was just a couple weeks ago. He was 20 years old. He said it seems like he remembers so much. And
his father was 96. His father, right? It's a pretty long life, isn't it? You know, my grandmother lived in three centuries. 1898, 2002. She lived to be 104. She saw the invention of the airplane with Wilbur Wright, the invention of the car with Henry Ford, the invention of the television. And I think maybe I told it before. She didn't like this one guy. His name was Babe Ruth. You know why? She lived in Detroit. Who plays in Detroit? Not the Yankees, but the Tigers. Huh? So she didn't like him. Every time Babe Ruth was in town, he'd be beating the Tigers, even though Ty Cobb was a pretty good player too. But even though she lived to be 104, she died one day. We can't live forever, can we? Only in heaven. Only in heaven. Okay, so whatever direction you choose, you'll never end, and there are always more numbers to count. So it is with eternity. I'll turn the page. God in us. God had no beginning, and He has no end. God is eternal. We, on the other hand, had a beginning in time. That was the moment of our conception in the womb of our mother. God willed your existence for all eternity. He loved you and had a plan for you. He formed you and modeled you in your mother's womb. In other words, you had a start or a beginning. However, your soul came into existence in the moment of your existence, and your soul, being immortal, will have no end. It is eternal. Do you know what your soul is? You've heard of soul, right? Alma in Spanish. You know what your soul is? What is it? You know what it is, but you can't explain it, right? I thought so. Okay, the soul is called in philosophy the principle of life, the life-giving principle. So a definition of death is what? Is when the soul leaves the body. So when the soul leaves the body, theologically you're dead. Biologically, they're saying when the brain waves stop and your heart stops beating, a doctor would say that's the person who's dead. But theologically, when your soul leaves your body, and you're dead. Your body is physical, your soul is spiritual. These are some of the constitutive elements of your soul. Your memory, you got a memory. Your understanding, right? We all have understanding. Your imagination, you probably have a very vivid imagination, right? Sometimes for good, sometimes for bad, huh? As well as our will. Will means the ability to choose. Also our heart. Not the physical heart, but the spiritual heart, the ability to love as well as to hate. All of these are constitutive elements of our soul. So as soon as you are conceived in your mother's womb, what happened was God intervened in the moment of conception, and God infused a soul into you for all eternity. For all eternity. So God had no beginning and no end, but we had a beginning, but we have no end. We had a beginning. We have no end. And if we live our lives loving God, die loving God, then we'll be absorbed in God for all eternity in heaven. That's important. Right? Okay, let's move on. Death and judgment. As soon as you die, then you will be judged. This is an important teaching in our Catholic faith. Do you believe in reincarnation? Do you believe in reincarnation? Reincarnation, that's come from Eastern philosophy of the Buddhists and the Hindus, and it's the wheel of existence, which you you're born, you live, you die, then you come back again. You're born, you live, you die, and you come back again. You're born, you live, you die, and you come back. And then the wheel goes around and around, you enter what is called karma or non-existence. Okay? So if you live a really good life, come back as a king. You live a really bad life, you come back as a cucaracha or a spotted toad or a worm. That's why they don't believe. And if you step on an ant, you killed your great-grandmother. Careful. Yep. Careful. So they believe in reincarnating yourself in another form of existence. It can be a lower form if you lived a bad life, a higher one. But we don't believe that. We believe in what is called the Judeo-Christian vision is the linear vision. And it's this. You're born right here. And then these are blocks of time. Call them every 5 years. And then you die. And when you die, here it is. You ever go in an elevator? Sooner or later, you guys are going to go in an elevator. Just don't want to be caught in between floors, especially if you're in your New York City, huh? Elevator. You've never been in an elevator, you guys, huh? Elevator, you're going to notice that there's arrows. There's an arrow going up, and there's an arrow going down. So in our spiritual life, we want to make sure that we press the right arrow, okay? So when we die, we're either going to be going up or down. Up is a place called heaven. Down is a place called hell. And it's forever and ever and ever. I see it this way, by way of analogy. You die, you're going to be given to Jesus a film of your life or a DVD of your life. If you like writing, the book of your life. So, you're going to be sitting down, you die, you're sitting down right in front, right with Jesus, and you're going to be seeing a huge screen, like an Edward Cinema. Ever go to a movie theater? Edward Cinema. It's going to be, you know, really big. And you're going to be seeing everything that ever happened in your life, from the moment that you were conceived until you die. And everything that you've done, all the words you've ever said, Jesus is going to be listening to those words, but not only the words, but even your intention when you said those words. All of your actions, okay? All of the things you did, good or bad, all of your omissions, the things that you should have done, all of the thoughts that cross your mind, you're going to be seeing those. All the movements of your heart are going to be laid bare as the sun at midday. All of your intentions are going to be seen by Jesus Christ. In other words, it is the moment of truth. That's called the day of your particular judgment. Now, I see you guys very serious and maybe a little bit scared. And, you know, it is kind of very serious, isn't it? Very serious. Yes?
I need to pull Osvaldo Ramirez out of class.
What's that?
I need to pull Osvaldo Ramirez out of class.
Osvaldo, are you here? Okay. So everything that happens in our lives is going to be seen by Jesus Christ. We're going to be judged. But there is, listen, there's good news. If you go to Hollywood, they make films, right? Hollywood. Before they finally have arrived at the end product of a movie, no, I don't have a degree in cinema, but I know this much. Before the finished product comes out, they're going to be editing it. In other words, they're going to be looking at, they're going to be clipping out some of the scenes that were not up to par. Maybe the audio part was not good. Maybe the visual part was a little bit blurry. Maybe during the filming, a dog came in that shouldn't have been there. All that. Because it really has to be professional. They have to make sure that they clip away all that's not good. Did you know that you can edit the film of your life? You can edit the film of your life. How? Are you listening? Make a good confession. Amen, huh? You like that? I like it. So every time you make a good confession, what happens is your guardian angel comes and he gets those sharp scissors. Clip, 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 trash. That means, even though we commit our sins, only God is perfect, right? Even when we commit our sins, only God is perfect. If you have the habit of going to confession frequently, you keep clipping and getting rid of all those bad parts of the film that you don't want God to judge you on. For that reason, confession is very important. I try to go at least once a month, if not more frequently. Okay? It's good. It's a good way to edit your film. So that's a judgment. You can maybe see it also in means of, if you prefer a literary more than a visual, our life is a book. Every chapter is a year. Every page is a month. Every paragraph is a day. Every sentence is an hour. Every minute is a word, down to the last period. All of us are writers. We're writing the book that we have to present to Jesus Christ. So we hope that when we die, that we'll be given to Jesus a bestseller to be in the Hall of Fame of heaven. And not to be in the Hall of Shame of hell. Got it. Bestseller in the Hall of Fame of heaven, not the Hall of Shame of hell. So we've got actors and writers here, Paul. These are our professional actors and writers. We got the Robert De Niro. We got the William Shakespeare's here, huh? Okay. Or the Dante. We're all writers. You're writing the book of your life. Hopefully, you're going to be writing a bestseller. Amen? They want to say, oh me, Father. You're not thinking about, oh man, you're thinking about, oh me, rather than amen, huh? Okay, let's go into it. As soon as you die, then you're going to be judged. This is an important teaching of our Catholic Church, Catholic faith. How to respond to the reality of our own judgment. When will our particular judgment be? When?
When we die.
Yes. Okay. So right in as soon as we die. So as soon as we die, judgment. So while we're living the time of God's mercy, right? In other words, while we're living, if we commit sins, we tell God we're sorry, God will always forgive us. You got that? While we're living. As soon as we die, it's over. We go from God's mercy to God's justice. You're going to judge us. So take advantage of God's mercy right now while you've got it. Don't reject it. Okay, what is death for Catholics? I already made an allusion to it. What is death for Catholics? That is, death is the moment that your... Remember? Okay, when your soul leaves your body, then you're theologically, you're dead. When will we die? You know, I've got a funeral tomorrow, Paul. And I say probably most of the people, shouldn't be laughing, most of the people that I bury, that I do funeral masses for, most of them, they're younger than me. No. Yeah, not all. I say probably most of all over the past, yeah, this guy died in 1959. I was born in the mid-50s. Wow. So we don't know when we're going to die. Remember when in Argentina there was the old catechist that said this with respect to death. How's your Spanish? Pretty good? La muerte es lo más cierto, lo más incierto. ¿No es cierto? I'm a pretty good translator. I've translated for bishops at times, and my Spanish, I had my Spanish radio program today, as always. No? La muerte es lo más cierto, lo más incierto. ¿No es cierto? None of you know Spanish? Forgot your Spanish? La muerte es lo más cierto y lo más incierto. Death is the most certain thing, but it's also the most uncertain thing. That's the translation. The most certain because all of us have to die. The most uncertain because none of us know the day, the hour, the way that we're going to die. You know, the last funeral I did, it was a very interesting case. Is one of our ladies works in Marriott, I think in Anaheim, and one of her co-workers had a son. His name was Matthew, and he was diagnosed at 9 years old with bone cancer. At nine. So they tried to arrest it, and it started to grow underneath his knee. So they had to amputate his leg. The poor kid, no. And this actually came out in the L.A. Times, the article on him. They wanted to find a church down in L.A., but they couldn't find any church, so they came to us. And I said, I'll do it. So they, you know what amputation means? No, amputate, I mean, they cut his leg off. Poor kid, no? And even with that, the kid learned how to ride a bike and how to swim. Any of you guys, have you learned how to ride a bike yet? Not yet? You'll learn. You're not allowed? Okay. None of you know how to swim, though, right? Today I swam 40 minutes, okay? So... I swam my first mile when I was 12 years old. But, you know, I'm a pretty good swimmer, but I got two legs and two arms, and my lungs are pretty good, thanks be to God. No? This kid, he got one leg. He learned how to swim. I kind of admire that. But then, after about a year, the cancer spread from his leg to his stomach and to his lungs. He died. He was only 11 years old. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? So we really don't know. I'm going to have a funeral tomorrow of a lady who owns the El Pescador, the Mexican restaurant that's there on, I think it's on Norwalk, right? And died suddenly. Yeah, somebody doing her funeral tomorrow. We really don't know when God's going to call us. How would you like to die? Most teenagers say, in my sleep, Father. In my sleep, won't suffer. I know you like to die eating a hamburger, right? You like a Big Mac, right? No? Or a taco? Paul, I've thought about this often. The best way to die would be to die as a martyr, like the Cristeros in Mexico, Que Viva Cristo Rey. Actually die, you know, you die giving up your life for Christ. That's the best way. But I'm kind of a coward. I'm not very good at suffering. You guys are probably better than me, no? If I'm being martyred, make sure it's a firing squad and shoot in the right place. Or my founder said the oblate priest should die in the pulpit or the confessional. I kind of like that. What does that mean? The pulpit, I'm preaching, or the confessional, I'm hearing confessions. I kind of like that. But Paul, I've been thinking about this lately. I really would like to die right after having received a plenary indulgence. Remember the plenary indulgences? You want to go to heaven right away. Let me tell you the shortcut. Now you can take it if you want, or you can take a zigzagged way, but the shortcut better. Is if you go to confession and make a really good confession. Really good one. Then you go to Mass. And you're not a caliente banca, you know, bench warm, but you're participating in Mass. And you receive communion. Then you have to do an indulgence act. That the church requires. And that could be you pray the rosary in the church in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or you pray the rosary with your mother and your family. Better yet, your mom and your dad and your brother and your sister. But even if you prayed for you with your mother, that's your family. Then you pray for the Pope. Then you make this decision when you go to confession. I'm going to try to give up sin. If you do those, you die after doing those, with doing them all with sincerity and goodwill, the church grants you a plenary indulgence, which means all of your sins are washed away as well as temporary punishment, and you can go right to heaven. That's huge. Another way it'd be good to die is to be able to receive the last sacraments. You say, for example, you're in a hospital bed, you're dying. It's a really good idea that you got a priest as your friend. That's important. That's good fire insurance. Yep. It's good fire insurance. So say, for example, you're dying in the hospital, and I arrive there, okay, hey, you know, you're not going to make it. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like to tell lies. You're not going to make it. And some of your relatives are saying, oh, there's going to be one thing, you're not going to make it. Why lie? I think that's wrong. creating a false sense of hope. I think that's wrong. Right? I mean, you don't tell a person why. There's going to be a miracle, you're going to come back, and everything's going to be okay. That's wrong. You make your confession, you receive communion, I give the anointing to the sick, and look what I have here, Paul. Apostolic pardon. So the church has given me the ability to say this short prayer. I have it written here. I want to try to memorize it, maybe on vacation. And then with this, all the sins are forgiven, and the temple punishment too. That's huge, isn't it? So, the other day in Relevant Radio, there was a story they were telling about this convent of nuns, and what's this Mother Superior was able to see these nuns die and where they went. And there was this sister that was kind of normal, average. She died, she went right to heaven, and Mother Superior said, why didn't you go right to heaven? And Jesus said, because she took advantage of what the church offers. You understand that? Do you? So, I mean, if you die, if you want, you can go 500 years in purgatory. That's up to you. You can be 1,000 years if you want. Okay, 500 years in purgatory. That's up. Okay, fine. In fire, you're burning. Not a joke. Or you can go right away if you just accept what the church offers. Isn't that incredible? I've been thinking about it over the past 6 months, Paul. It gives me a lot of consolation. But if we don't know about this, I've told them, and I think I told them about 2 months ago, I just want to remind them, you guys really, if you really love God and you try to love God, you can make it to heaven right away. But you have to really try to love God and accept what the church offers. Good confession. Communion, fervent communion, right? Pray the rosary with your mom. Pray for the Pope and try to give up sin. If that's your attitude, it should be our attitude. And St. Peter Chanel lends itself to the plenary indulgence, right? You got 5 masses a day, you got priests that are always hearing confessions. We pray the rosary after mass, we pray for the Pope. You just follow the rhythm of the parish. I think you're in good standings, don't you? So, I'm going to try to make it to heaven right away, right? What do you think? All right, so let's go back to the serious topic. I'm trying to spice it with a little bit of hope so you guys don't go home for Christmas and you with long faces, huh? It's a serious topic, right, Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, so number 3 is nobody knows the day, the hour, the minute, the second that we will die. That depends on God and on His divine will. Who then will judge us? Is it going to be the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? It's Jesus. It is Jesus Christ, the second person of Blessed Trinity, who will judge me. Okay, number 5. Number 5. Okay, what does the creed say? It says that He, Jesus, will come to judge. We pray it every Sunday in Mass. He'll come to judge the
living and the dead.
Okay? Well said. This creed, which means, write it into what we believe, we pray at every Sunday Mass after the priest finishes the homily. Number 6. Is there a special Bible passage that speaks about judgment? Yes. More than one. However, one of the most important is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, and that would be Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. So you're going to be judged. This is the chapter in the Bible that speaks about what Jesus is taking into account right now for your day of judgment. Okay, so very clearly Jesus says that he will be like a shepherd that shepherds the goats. The goats from the sheep. So right on the top, the goats from the sheep. The goats he'll place on his left side, the sheep on his right. So the goats are the bad, the sheep are the good. Goats on the left, and the sheep on the right. You guys are on the left, you're on the right, but don't worry about that. Don't worry. They want to move on to the right side, okay? Okay, what does that mean? Okay, letter A, the goats are those who are bad. So the goats are those who are bad, letter A. And the sheep are those who are? What? Good. Okay. What determines the bad from the good? What determines the bad from the good, then? It is clear. Jesus says that the good would help out people. Okay, so let's kind of put a mark behind, next to all those who are the sheep. Giving food to the hungry? Yes or no? Yes. How about drink to the thirsty? Yes. How about protecting endangered species? No. How about clothing the naked? Yes. How about lodging or giving home to the homeless? How about visiting the sick and those in prison? What do you think? Yes. So Jesus said, I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a foreigner and you welcomed me. I was sick and in prison and you came to visit me. When? Whenever we did it to the least of my brothers, then we did it to Jesus. So we're going to be judged on our prayer life, but also the way we treat people. We have to treat people with respect, with love, with dignity, with care, with compassion and mercy, because that person is Jesus Christ. And sometimes the most difficult place for us to really practice mercy and kindness and patience is in our own family. With our brothers and our sisters, our mother, our father. Maybe that's the most difficult place for us to try to be good, no? And outside the family, we got a big smile on our face like a clown. We're happy, we're joyful, we come home, we're like devils almost. Huh? So yeah, we have to try to work at being good in the family. One of my favorite Mexican-Spanish proverbs is this. Candil en la calle, oscuridad en la casa. Ever hear that one? Candil en la calle, oscuridad en la casa. Candil means like a light in the outside, but your darkness once you come back to your house. It's a good one. In English, they call it the Rip Van Winkle complex. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so what about the bad? On the other hand, the bad, okay, that's a good one. I put failed to help. Ignored would be another way of saying it. Failed to help all those people in their need. Number 11. What is Jesus really saying? He's really saying this. Everybody in this world has dignity, is loved by God, and should be respected. We are called, write this in there, it's a short sentence now, to see Jesus in anyone in need. We are called to see Jesus in anyone in need. And to help him in any way we can. If we do, Jesus will reward us with eternal life. Okay, number 12. Do we have many chances in life? Oh, so wait, what do you think? We have many chances in life? No. We do not believe in what is called, I already mentioned it, begins with an R. Reincarnation. Now to spell it? Any of you good spellers? Any of you win the Hawaiian Garden spelling bee? Kind of a big word, isn't it? Reincarnation. Coming back as a king, coming back as a cucaracha, we don't believe in that, do we? Thanks be to God. Huh? So, we do not believe in what we call reincarnation, that we have many chances. No, we live once, die once, and are immediately judged. Okay, what is the particular judgment? It is a judgment that we will all experience as soon as we die. As soon as we die. We will be alone with Jesus and he will show us all that we've done. It's called the moment of truth. What does that mean? It means everything absolutely, everything, write that in there, we have ever done will be seen by you and Jesus. Well, seen by you and by Jesus. All your words, deeds, your actions, things you should have done, thoughts both good and bad, the feelings and inner movements of your heart. Also, Jesus will show you all of the intentions that you had, be it good or bad. Even our intentions. Can I start a clean slate? You can all start a clean slate. This is what can happen to your soul. You see it? Here it is. What do you have to do? You have to erase the whiteboard? Is that what you have to do? What do you have to do? Yes, every time you make a good confession. Jesus washes you clean and you start a new life. It is like a movie filmer who goes through various forms of editing before the film is ready to be shown publicly, as we said earlier. Good news, isn't it? Thanks be to God for confession, huh? What is the general judgment? So the particular judgment, and as soon as you die, you go before Jesus Christ, you're going to see the film of your life. What about the general judgment? You know what that is? I didn't think so I'll tell you. The general judgment, this will happen at the end of the world. So the end of the world, Jesus is going to bring back all the people who ever lived, the billions of people, and they're going to be before Jesus. And they're going to be separated. The goats on the left, the sheep on the right. Now, in heaven now, is there anyone in heaven that is present in body and soul? Right now. Yes. Perfect. So anyone else? Who's your son? Yeah, okay, so Jesus and Mary in heaven. But all the other saints in heaven, John Bosco, Dominic Savio, Padre Pio, John Paul II, St. Teresa, Jose Luis Sancho del Rio, Miguel Pro, all those saints, they're in heaven, but only with their soul. You know that? Their soul is there. By the end of the world, Jesus is going to bring all the people together. And they're going to have their body, and their body's going to go to heaven with their soul. So in a certain sense, they're incomplete now. And those who are damned in hell are in hell just with their soul, but with a general judgment, they're going to be united with their body, and they're going to suffer even more. So we're a composite being. We've got both body and soul. So we want to make sure that we use our body in this world to glorify God. Because we're going to have a glorified body. Yeah, but it's only Jesus and Mary that are in heaven in body and soul. All the other saints, they're there with their soul. But with a general judgment, the bodies and the souls are going to come together. The good up to heaven, the bad down to hell. Okay. I'm glad you understand that. It's important. Okay, so how will it be? Jesus will show to all what everybody has done. It will be the moment of truth. I mean, it's incredible. Everything that everyone has ever done is going to be seen with Jesus. It's incredible, isn't it? No? Now, will they see the evil if they've been forgiven through confession? I don't know. That's up to theological speculation. I would say yes, because even the evil that we've done, if we're forgiven, it's glorifying God's mercy all the more. Okay. So Jesus will show to all what everybody has done. It will be the moment of truth. Number 18. What will happen? Then those who have already been judged will be what do you think? They'll be reunited with their bodies. They'll be reunited with their bodies. The saved will have a glorified body with Jesus. The damned, means those who go to hell, will be united with their soul that has already been condemned and suffer even more. How can we prepare for our judgment day? How can we prepare for our judgment day? The response is clear. Try to live each day as if it were our last. And then, write this in there, to avoid sin. I want to try to avoid sin. Especially, what type of sin? Mortal sin. Especially mortal sin. And be prepared. We know neither the day nor the hour of our death and judgment that follows right after. Who can help us? Paul, I don't think they're even aware of it. But Adonella, and I think you helped them to pray the rosary today, right? You guys prepared yourself for death 50 times today. I've already prepared myself 100 times, and it's going to be at least another 50 before I go to bed. How was that? You prepared yourself for death 50 times today. You know why? You said 50 Hail Marys. So every time you say the Hail Mary, say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I like that. I know about you guys. When I'm dying, the devil attacks us. Maybe not physically, but he attacks us mentally. He wants us to give into despair and to give up on God, not to trust God. That's the way the devil works. But what happens if the devil is next to you, next to your bed, and the Blessed Mother comes? She kicks him out. The devil is really afraid of the Blessed Mother. That's why when someone is dying, you got five or six people praying the rosary. That's powerful. I kind of like that. No? Someone is dying and she's going to die within maybe an hour, and you have four or five relatives praying the rosary, the chaplet of divine mercy. That's a gangbuster. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them a Christmas present. You know, be a different Christmas present you've ever received. In 20 minutes, about 10 minutes, I'm going to be celebrating Mass, and I'm going to pray that all of them will go to heaven. Is that a good gift?
Yes.
You like that? So when I say Mass, I'm going to place all of you and Paul also on the altar, so that when you die, you all go to heaven. Is that a good gift? I can't give you money and presents because I'm poor. I have a vow of poverty. But I can give you what's even more important, my prayers, you can get to heaven. Because whether or not you guys have a long life or a short life, you have a lot of money or a car, it doesn't really matter. What's important is all of you get to heaven. Amen? So I'm going to place them all on the altar, and I lift up the host. And the chalice, which is the body and blood of Christ, I'm going to be lifting all of them up so that when they die, they'll be able to die loving God. When all is said and done, it's really the only thing that matters in life. You pray for me too. Okay?
Yes, Father.
Okay? So you have one more to go, right? Who can help us? You got it there? Last one? Okay, Mary can help us. Write that in there. Mary can help us. Especially if we pray the Hail Mary and the Rosary. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We should often pray the short prayer, Lord, I beg you to be not my judge, but to be my Redeemer. So have a great Christmas, you guys. You going to go to Mass on Christmas with your mom and dad? Yeah? Make sure you go to Mass on Christmas. Okay? God bless you, then we'll see you. It'll be next year, right, Craig? Right, Paul?
Yeah, next year.
Okay, good. Give my coffee back. Yeah.
Thank
you. Have a great one. I'll be praying for my Mass. All of you are going to make it to heaven one day, okay? So have a Merry Christmas, all of you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.